Romans 16. I want to start there because there's a really good section of scripture here that I think we can really take something from. So if you'll open up to Romans 16, we're going to get started. I know it's Mother's Day, and I promise you that we'll get out by 2 o'clock. Actually, yay. I have to be somewhere at 1. So
all right.
If I'm not done at 1, if I'm not done by 1, then Sharon, you take over, and I'll leave the rest of it here.
Okay, cool. No. I can make it a short sermon, believe me.
So, but we're in Romans chapter 16, and what we're doing, I think this is one of the better Mother's Day sermons that I've probably ever come across mentally. I was looking at some things, trying to figure out what we could preach, what could I talk about on Mother's Day, and Romans 16, starting in verse 1 and going through verse 16, I see something that I think we all can take notes on in some ways, but it says, I commend you, Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Sintra, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of all the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Meet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stoxus, my beloved. Sorry about the names. I knew they were there. It's just not real good with them. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Yes, that is the most difficult section of scripture. And yes, when we get to Romans 16, we'll learn what those names really are. that being said, what I want to look at here today is simply this. What we are looking at is Paul writing a note. Now, here's a couple things that I take out of this. Number one, what is a common misconception that we have of Paul within the church? Anybody want to take a gander on that? Yes, it's Sunday morning. Normally we don't talk back, but that's fine.
He was the first preacher, I think.
Well, he was one of the first 12 or 13. But there, for a man who is perceived as not liking women, he sure seems to mention quite a few of them right here to the Roman church. Now, I want to look at this because of the 26 people that are mentioned, and I apologize to the 24 that I mispronounced their names. Rufus was a pretty easy one. And luckily, I get to talk about Rufus later on, so we're good. But here's the deal. For 26 names that he mentions here, six of those are women. In fact, the first couple that he mentions as he opens the whole thing up, he says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. Then he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. He goes through and some of the first names he mentions are women. So for a man who is perceived to dislike women, he sure singles out women quite a bit right here. Now, I bring that up because it's an interesting fact that since Paul is frequently getting a bad rap for being a chauvinist, let's just use the word that everybody tends to use. I think it also shows us the tremendous influence that women have had in the early church. Because I find it interesting that Paul, the one who, yes, he did say, as for me, I would not permit a woman in this. But, you know, the male chauvinist viewpoint of Paul has long reigned within the church. But here I see a man who knows who to think, and he thinks them well. But there's a verse right in the middle of all that. A verse that, you know, he could not describe the church in Rome without mentioning the women. And in verse 13, he mentions a woman that I think we need to understand something here. I think he in some ways, preached his own Mother's Day service at this. Now, Mother's Day was not a day of celebration in that time. But verse 13 is one that the Bible scholars have struggled with because of some wording. Now, I'm going to do my best to try to present this to us this morning in a good and healthy way where we can look at it and we can see this. But what the verse says is, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Now, when we see that wording, when we see those verses that in that way, the statement could be taken two ways. Now, you could be thinking about three people that he's introducing. You've got Rufus and Rufus's mother, and then Paul also introducing his own mother. Or you could take it a second way, which I'm actually a little more inclined to believe might be the way that Paul is intending this, because of the way that everything kind of lays out. It could mean that he's introducing those two separately. But it could also mean that he is simply saying, "I salute Rufus and his mother, who is like a mother to me." Now, how many
of us? My Bible sucks.
Right. See, then the translations as time goes by has gone to that mentality. And I believe that that is what Paul is doing here. He is simply saying, "This woman has been a mother to me." Now, let's give a little history lesson before we go on, because I want to look at this. I really, truly believe that Paul is saluting a woman who has become a mother to him in some ways. Being where I'm at in life and having dealt with some of the things that I've dealt with at younger ages, I understand this sentiment. I understand the sentiment that Paul is sharing here. In fact, today, being Mother's Day, you know, I'm going to go out and celebrate with my family, with my aunt, because my aunt has filled in that role in some ways. And to me, she is that. And so as I look at that and I think about that, I understand where Paul is as he writes this. But as I look at it, it raises some interesting questions. And I want to look at this for a moment. I want to ask these questions as we move forward. First, when and where did Paul meet Rufus's mother? All right. Now, granted, Rufus's mother is one that we don't necessarily know in the scripture, but we might. And I'm gonna allude to that here in a moment. But the second question it might raise is, did she nurse him in some way through a serious illness? Or what might that have been? Three, did Paul stay in her home during his missionary journeys? Four, how did this woman and Paul form such a close bond? And five, why does he refer to her fondly as being like a mother? All right, when we look at those five questions, we can understand that, because we all know that those are some things that we might deal with as well. When I come to know someone and somebody becomes like a mother to you, or somebody becomes like a father to you, or you look at someone as a parental figure in some ways, you know, I mean, I can think of many times in my life where someone has just been that nurturer, where you've become close to someone because of the nurturing nature that they have. And so that's what I believe is happening here. But in the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that Simon of Cyrene, now we know who Simon of Cyrene is. Simon of Cyrene is the man who carried Jesus' cross. It tells us that he had two sons in Mark. And in Mark, it mentions that his sons are Alexander and Rufus. So another question that I have as I look at this is this woman, or is this Rufus, the same Rufus that Paul is now mentioning? That is a possibility, which in turn, if that is the case, then would mean that this woman he is introducing, the lady that he has just introduced as Rufus's mother and his, is also the wife of Simon of Cyrene, the wife of the man who carried Christ's cross. Now, that's just speculation. But as we look at this and we think about this, if he is, she would be Simon of Cyrene's wife. No one knows for sure who she is. But for her to have garnered that view in the eye of Paul, she must have been someone special. So when we look at this, it's basically, we're looking at this excellent example of a mother that we can use for a sermon such as this. You know, these are scriptures that somehow get looked over sometimes. Well, that's just Paul greeting the church. Well, yeah, it is. But women seem to play an important role in Paul's life. Women seem to play an important role in the church. And as we sit here today and I look around the church today, women play an important role in this church just as much as they have any other church I've been in. I don't think we can really push to the wayside some of these things. Some people think Mother's Day is sentimental foolishness, and I understand that. I mean, how many of the holidays do we say, well, it's just another Hallmark holiday, you know, that the greeting card company decided to make another day so that they could sell cards. And I mean, I've been guilty of saying things like that before, but we must admit that there is sentiment to this day, but there's nothing wrong with that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And when you go through the struggle of losing a parent, and many of you in here probably have, I don't know for sure, I mean, just based on ages, no offense, but I mean, it's a struggle. It's a hard thing. We know how that is, and you know that how Mother's Day becomes something you don't really look forward to when you've lost your mother. Or Father's Day is something you don't look forward to when you've lost a father. Even being a mother on Mother's Day, it's just not the same because you're the one being honored, but you still have that hole. It's a sentimental day for sure, but there's nothing wrong with that. And I want to look at it that way. And I've struggled with this for 12 years now. I mean, my mother has been gone since 2006. And as I look at this, I finally got to a moment where I realized that maybe a little bit of sentimental thinking, maybe a little sentiment is healthy for us in the church. So as we look at this, there are some examples of women in the Bible that we can look at who were absolute horrible examples of mothers. I mean, if you really want to get down to it, there are some examples who present horrible examples for us in the scripture as what a mother should look like. I'm not going to mention my name. I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to say this. There are women today who are the same. They abandon their children. They abuse their children. They corrupt their children. They lead them down the wrong path. And they create a poor model. But these are the exceptions. And the reason I say that is because I want to just say that more women than men do a better job of fulfilling that parental role in the lives of their children. And I say that in all honesty, and that's what we're here to celebrate today, is that Mother's Day is a day to celebrate the women who have taken on a role, who have learned to understand what it means to love. And why I say that is because the closest thing you're ever going to experience on the face of this earth to the love of God for us is being a parent and loving a child that you've brought into this world, a child that you have created, because God created us and God has a love for us that we can never understand without that. And I fully believe that God allowed us to be parents for that purpose, so that we could understand the love he has for us. But as we look at this, couple things I want to point out in saluting mothers this morning is this. Number one, mothers should be saluted for their persistent love. That love that I just mentioned. Mothers should be saluted for that love. Because I want to give you an example. If you ever sat in a hospital waiting room, I mean, how many of us have? Who is typically in the waiting room for hours upon end?
Women.
Exactly. Men get nervous. Men get up. Men walk out. Men have to find something else to do. They can't sit still long enough to wait. Now, that's not true in all cases, but in a lot of cases it is, because the waiting room wears out for a father a lot quicker than it does for a mother because of that love. Fathers become impatient. They go in and out, and the mothers stick it out because a mother's love cannot be denied. Now, I say that because in the Old Testament, we see the story of Rizpah. Now, I don't know how many of you know the story of Rizpah. It's not one that gets typically talked about in the church much. Now, I'm going to just say this. Rizpah was not a nice woman. That's another reason it's not talked about in the church a lot. But Rizpah had two illegitimate sons by King Saul. Now, when we look at this story, what we realize is that later when David ascended to the throne, he had these two sons killed. Now, they had participated in a conspiracy to try to overthrow David, and that resulted in the deaths of many people. And in the process of that, David ordered that their bodies should be hung on public display. They were hung on a public gallows, and they were hung for everyone to see. And that is where Rizpah comes back into the story. Now, when I think about this, and I know that it's not typically your Sunday morning service, and it's definitely not your Mother's Day message, but hear me out for a moment. The reason and the purpose for hanging them for public display would have been so that they could be eaten by the birds, so that they could be examples for the people. Rizpah comes back into the story here and comes back and goes to the execution site. And then she begins to protect the bodies of her sons. The love of a mother, no matter how evil the mother may be, no matter how difficult the situation might be, the love of a mother, she steps in and she begins to keep the birds and the prey, or the animals of prey, and all of them off of her sons. In this scene, she drove away vultures, the jackals. She didn't want the scavengers to eat the bodies of her sons. And when David heard what the mother had done, when he heard about what Rizpah was doing, he was moved to compassion, and he ordered a proper burial for those two sons. See, that is the love of a mother. That is the love that a mother knows, because a mother brought this child into the world. A mother brought these two sons into the world. He went to Gibeon and he had the bodies given a decent burial. And the thing is that I think that this talks about the persistent love of a mother. Now, I'm not talking about the character of Rizpah. I don't really know Rizpah, but I know she was a mother, and I know she loved her sons, and I know she would do anything to ensure that their bodies were given a proper burial. I know that because it's right here in the Word. So when we look at this, I think about a poem that I remember reading in school one time, Rudyard Kipling, who many of you probably know who he is, but you may not know the poem. It says, "If I were hanged on the highest hill, I know whose love would follow me still. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were drowned in the deepest sea, I know these tears, or know whose tears would come down to me. Mother of mine, mother of mine. If I were damned by body and soul, I know whose prayers would make me whole. Mother of mine, mother of mine." See, the thing about Rudyard Kipling is that he understood something that many of us understand. The love of a mother, and a mother's prayer, and a mother's heart, and a mother's hope. Fathers have disowned their children, but mothers have stuck through it. Many fathers have just given it to the wayside, but the mother has stayed. There is a persistence in a mother that must be saluted, I guess is the best term I can look for there. A persistence that mothers have when it comes to their love for their children. The second thing that we see in the scripture is this, that mothers need to be saluted for a tremendous impact that they have on each and every one of us. And I'm convinced that the person who influenced Jesus the most on this earth would have been his mother. Here's why. Second only to God, by the way. Not saying that Jesus wasn't influenced by God. That's not it. Like, physically speaking, on the face of the earth, God would have been the most influence that Jesus had in his life. Second would have been Mary. And that's because, you know, I don't even want to detract from Joseph's role. I mean, if Joseph had been alive when Jesus died, he would have been right beside Mary on the hill of Calvary. I don't believe that that's something we can overlook. But Mary's role in God's plan did not end when she was giving birth to Jesus. Because God picked someone who could mother his son. God picked someone who could be there. He used her to help mold the personality and ministry of Jesus. I want to look just through some of the statements that are made in the Gospels and see that. John chapter 2, verse 1, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. She wasn't forgotten as the mother of Jesus after the fact. You see, Mary was always there for Jesus. She always surrounded him with her love. She was always present in his life. She stayed close to him. How do I know this? Well, Mark 3:32, a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." Again, Mary, where Jesus was. So you think about the ministry that Jesus had. You miss that Jesus' mother was there for pretty much all of it. And think about it. I mean, this is your mother and your brother are outside with you, or seeking you. And he said, with the sin of the whole world on his shoulders, one of the last thoughts that he had, one of the last things that Jesus did was he made sure that his mother was taken care of. Why? She was at the foot of the cross looking up at her son who was dying for her sin. I mean, John 19:26-27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Jesus then asked John to take care of his mother. He made sure she was well taken care of. Folks, if you don't believe me about the presence of mothers in lives, if you don't believe me about the importance of a mother in the life of a child, this story should tell you everything. I mean, if we look back to history, John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church, he was influenced by his mother. I mean, he made no bones about it. He said that. Abraham Lincoln led the nation through the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln was asked a question of who made you who you are. And his answer was that it was his mother. Now, if we look at that and look at the love of a mother that has influenced a nation, she wasn't the president of the United States, but he was. And his influence came from her. He freed the slaves. Why? Because his mother influenced him. He led the nation through a civil war. How? His mother influenced him. Some of the greatest leaders on earth today, or that have ever been in history, were influenced by their mother. In many different ways, we have all experienced influence from our mothers. We can look back at our own lives today and we think, wow, my mom really did make an impact on my life. My mother really impacted who I am today because I'm starting to see little things of her in me, or I'm starting to see little things that she did that I'm doing now. We all have that. We all do that. The third thing that we should salute the mother for is that a mother is where home is. Now, I know that's going to sound kind of odd, but my mom grew up as a military brat. So she moved around the nation a lot. I mean, she was born in San Diego and then moved to Milwaukee within like 3 days, I think. I mean, it was like boom, boom, boom. You know, it was like a pinball game. There's a lot of kids that have to do that. And no matter where a mother moves, that becomes home for a child. You know, if you think about that a little bit, I mean, if we really brace that, it reminds me of the story of a minister who had moved to Memphis from Baltimore. And when he was asked if Baltimore was where he was from, he says, "No, that's just where we ended up." He said, He said, "My family moved around frequently. There was no place that I can say was home." And then he made this statement. He said, "I suppose wherever mother was, that is where home was." So as we look at this today, and a lot of us can maybe identify with that, and we start to think about all of it, a house is just a physical place. A home is where love is. A home is where mom is. A home is where you feel accepted and welcomed and warm. A home is wherever mother is. And wherever mother is, that's home. So I believe that it is appropriate that we single out a day like today, that we single out Mother's Day to celebrate the mothers, whether here or gone, that we have all had. And as we look at godly examples, we look at scriptural things, and we think about the fact that most of us probably wouldn't be here if not for the love and the care and the concern of our mothers in the first place. Because they're the ones who brought us to church. Now, that's not to discount anything our fathers have done, but mothers are the ones who tend to be the ones getting them into church, getting the youth to do these things, driving them around, making sure they're taken care of while dad's maybe out working. See, being a mother is very important. God didn't choose a father necessarily for his son. He already had one. He was. Now, he did choose. I mean, Joseph was chosen. But Joseph didn't father that child physically. But he had to physically choose a mother that would physically bear that burden. He had to choose someone who would physically go through becoming a mother. See, Joseph was more of an adoptive father. Joseph was a father he didn't have to be necessarily, but Mary had to bear it. Mary had to have him. Mary had to physically give birth to the Savior of the world. So there's something special about a mother. And God even chose that. But the highest tribute that we can give to our mothers today is that it's not that we can praise her. It's not that we can give gifts. I mean, gifts are nice. These flowers are beautiful. And I hope you guys enjoy them, that one. But it's not the giving gifts that necessarily would praise a mother the best. In fact, it's not to pay a visit. And it's not even simply to come to church on Mother's Day. The greatest tribute that we can give to a mother is to be the kind of person that she prayed we would be. To be the person that our godly mother got down on her knees and prayed day in and day out you would become. The person that she prayed to God and prayed over your life about. Now I know that's hard because some of you may not know the prayer your mother prayed. Some of you may not know the prayer that was prayed in your stead. And it may not be an actual mother that prayed that prayer. But what I will say is this. You've got someone in your life who's been like a mother, if it wasn't your mother. But you who are mothers have also prayed that prayer over your own children. You've prayed those prayers over your own child. So there's no reason you shouldn't recognize what it is, because it's natural. It comes with the territory. A mother wants nothing more than to see their child succeed, and success comes only from knowing God and making him known in your life. True success comes solely from a successful relationship with Christ. True success comes solely from a permanent and personal relationship. Most of us understand what that is. If you don't, then I urge you to come today. But become who your mother prayed you would be. Become the person that your mother continued to pray for. Become the person that your mother got down on her knees and she cried out to God and said, "Lord, I just want to see him do this. I just want to see her do that. I just want to see her be with you." You know, after my mom passed away, one of the things that I had to come to a realization of is this exact thing. But where I changed the wording a little bit for the sermon today, the one thing I remember telling people was this. People would come up to me and say, "Your mother was very proud of you." For 2 years after my mom died, I would hear constantly all the good things that my mom said about me. And here I was feeling sorry for myself, thinking my mom didn't understand who I was. Little things like that, you know. And I knew she did. But I tell you, the greatest realization I came to as a minister was the day that I realized, I mean, even before my dad had passed away, but the day I realized that in ministry, what I needed to become was the person my mother told people I was. And I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but my mom believed in me. My mom had more hope for me than I even had for myself. And she would tell people how great of a child that I was. I didn't feel I lived up to that at home. But eventually it sank in to the point where I realized that I had to become who my mom told everyone I was. I had to get back and take a look at the whole thing and realize the prayers that she had prayed were followed up with her statements to others, with how pleased she was about what I was doing with my life, about how wonderful I was in her eyes. Before you run out of time on that, or before you continue, think about what others tell you about your parents. Think about the stories you hear. Or just listen to the things they're saying about you. And realize that's how they feel. That's the love they have. And that's who you are to them. Because they see nothing but the best. So should we salute mothers? Absolutely. 100%. Without a doubt. I believe Paul even took that opportunity in Romans for that simple yet profound gesture to say, she's my mother too. She's like a mother to me. This woman has meant more to me than many others. I mean, for someone to adopt someone as a parent, they obviously have done that role in their lives. And Paul just flat out says in Romans 16:13, greet Rufus, who God has called, and his mother, and mine.